We continue our series that we have begun last week. It's a short series, but may the Lord enable us to learn important principles in this month of February, when the whole world tries to remember love that is in the air. The perfect love is what we are meditating upon. Last week, we meditated upon the love that God has shown towards us. Primarily, we took from one of the verses from the first letter of John the Apostle, chapter 4 and verse 12, where God's love perfected in us. That was a sermon title. If you haven't heard of it, or if you want to listen to it all over again, you can go to our church website and listen to the sermon as well. In that verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If you love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Or in other words, God's love perfecting in us. Focusing on that aspect that, if you remember, we have meditated upon the noun and the verb of agape. God is love and God loves you. Do you remember that? God is love and he loves you. Are you listening? He loves you. Today, we are going to continue our series from another verse from the same chapter, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, the sermon titled, Our Love Made Perfect, 1 John 4, 17. Shall we all read this together and then we can fill in the blanks? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I hope you have read it. I couldn't hear your voices clearly enough. Shall we read it aloud and clearly, please, all together? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So please note down the blanks. As you note down the blanks, let us read this in Telugu language, please. 1 John 4, 17. Shall we all read this together?
Valna prema manalo paripurnamu cheyabadi unnadi. Elayanaga ayana ettivaadai unnado manamu kuda ee lokamulo attivaramai unnamu.
1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 says, especially in Telugu language, ayana prema manayandu sampurnamagnu. And 1 John 4, 17 says, Prema manalo parupurnamu cheyabadi unnadi. That's what it says. Meaning, his love perfected in us in verse 12, and our love made perfect. Or in other words, love perfected among us, it says in some of the English translations. Love perfected with us, it says in some other translations. But primarily focusing upon the love that is being understood from our side as well. Let us have this read in Urdu language, please.
और इसी सबब से मोहब्बत हम में कामल हो गई है ताकि हमें अदालत के दिन दलेरी होकर हो क्योंकि जैसा वो है वैसे ही दुनिया में हम भी हैं.
The word mohabbat, typically we tend to think of people. Mohabbat is between two people, but it is being talked from a divine love perspective, which is the agape love, which is translated as mohabbat here. Tamil language, please.
Nyaya thirpu naalile namakku dhairiyam undaya irpadaka anbu nammidathil poorana padukirathu yenendral avar irikkira praharame naamum ivulagathil irukiro.
Thank you, sister. And the word I understood from this Tamil language, anbu, right? That is what Tamil word for love, anbu. Anpu or anbu, it says. So there are various words, just as a small recollection of the words that we looked at from the Greek language, eros, philia, storge, and agape. They are all translated as love in English. All one word. Can't we have different kinds of words? But there's only one word that was translated. So sometimes original word looking is also good. Eros is primarily focusing on the romantic love or intimate love between a husband and wife. Philia is a brotherly love. Or friendly love, in other words. And storge is a family love. love among the family members, the kind of love that is expressed. And agape is the highest form of love, if I may. The divine love, an unconditional love, sacrificial love. And that is how this word agape was coined. And teleo is means perfect or complete. Completeness, paripurnata. It is complete. You just can't say something, an arc as a circle. It has to be complete. And that is what we are trying to understand about the perfection of love. The perfection of love. And today, as we focus our attention on our love made perfect from our sermon notes as well, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. We may have boldness in the day of judgment. As we prepare ourselves for that day of judgment, when we stand in front of God and be able to stand with boldness. And then he says, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. What does it mean? As he is an embodiment of love. God is love. God is agape. And God loves us. God agapos, you and me. Agapao, in other words, in verb, in a verb way of showing forth. If God is a God who is love and he loves me, it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is something that is expected from our side as well. That we need to love God. So our focus of attention today, while we have focused our attention last week, that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves me. Each one of us, God loves us. He is perfecting his love in us. And as we focus on our love being made perfect, we need to recognize his love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, from a love perspective, let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, anything you think about being a Christian or a child of God or Christ in me, the first and foremost focus of our attention should be love. And in 1 John chapter 4, in the same chapter, verse 19, very familiar verse, maybe one of us, could you please read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. What does it say? We love him because he first loved us. Some of the English translations doesn't use the word him some places. But the focus of our attention today, as we meditate upon our love being made perfect, we love him because he first loved us. Because as he is, so are we in this world. If we are able to claim ourselves to be the children of God, as he is, so are we in this world. If God is love, if God loves us, we should be able to express the same. We love him because he first loved us. So today, we're going to meditate upon two major sections as subheadings. You can note down the subheadings first of all. Who love God and how to love God? Two questions. We'll try to answer these questions from the Word of God as to what these questions are and how could we answer them. Who love God and how to love God? Last week, we meditated upon God is love and God loves us. And that is downward vertical relationship, in other words. There is a vertical relationship we always talk about, but within the vertical relationship, there is a downward relationship and upward relationship. Last week, meditated upon the downward relationship that God loves me. And today, we want to be able to recognize that we need to love him. We need to love him. And that is our focus of our attention. So let us look at the word of God and try to understand who are the ones who love God. Do you love God? Do you answer? Can you answer that question? Do you love Jesus? What is our answer? Questions? Should I say? Should I not say? What kind of love are we talking here? Is it a romantic kind of love we are talking here? Is it a filios kind of love we are talking here? Is it an agape love? The word that is used here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 is agape love. The divine love that he showed towards me, I'm reflecting back towards him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Please read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7.
ప్రియులారా, మనము ఒకనినొకడు ప్రేమింతము. ఏలయనగా ప్రేమ దేవుని మూలముగా కలుగుచున్నది. ప్రేమించు ప్రతివాడు దేవుని మూలముగా పుట్టినవాడై దేవుని ఎరుగును. దేవుని మూలముగా పుట్టినవాడై దేవుని ఎరుగును.
ద వన్ హూ లవ్స్ ఈస్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ నోట్ ఇట్ డౌన్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. హూ ఈస్ ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ రిఫ్లెక్టింగ్ దట్ లవ్ దట్ గాడ్ షోడ్ టువర్డ్స్ హిమ్ ఆర్ హర్? ద వన్ హూ లవ్స్ గాడ్. ఎవ్రీవన్ దట్ లవ్స్ ఈస్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ బోర్న్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఈస్ అ పర్సన్ who can be able to express that love back to God. Everyone that loves is born of God, meaning it is an external or it's an expression of something that has happened in ourselves. Born of God, not born of human beings with an earthly life that we are talking about, but being born of God. Some people don't like to hear this statement. Are you born of God? Or in other words, are you born again? What is this? Why are you asking me such kind of questions, people ask? Are you born again? Or in other words, are you born of God? Very important question. And that person who is born of God is the one who can love God. How can a person be born again? By going back into the mother's womb, Nicodemus asked Jesus in John chapter 3. And Jesus said, you must be born again, not of the flesh, but of the spirit and the water. And you and I need to be able to experience that spiritual birth in our lives. Because by birth we are born sinners and our spirit is dead. Every born child in this world is born with spirit dead. And the only one who can relive or quicken the spirit is Jesus Christ. Through his death on the cross of Calvary, he has given us that gift of eternal life by being let our spirits be born. That is what born again experience is. And my question to you and I today is, are you born again? Are you born of God? Can you answer that question before even I ask you, do you love him? Do you love him? In other words, are you born of God? It's an important question that you and I need to be able to experience it in our lives and to be able to tell it with assurance and boldness that Christ Jesus came down into this world for my sake. He has died for me on the cross. He is the one who can bring my dead spirit into life. That is what being born again is. And each one of us, as the Spirit of the Lord convicts you, to be able to respond to that voice of the Spirit and to be able to be born again, to recognize that he's the one who makes me born. Born again, meaning fresh, born afresh. And the second one, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, everyone who loves is born of God. And secondly, what does it say? Knoweth God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What does knowing God mean? It is not just having a head knowledge to be able to say, oh yeah, I know Jesus was born on so and so day. Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem. It is not about telling it. The other day, just I think, was it Thursday or Friday, we had a meeting where people from other locations, they came to my office where the head office is, and we were discussing it. And there was a new person who joined and he did not understand something. And assuming that everybody knows, somebody was talking it over and over again, suddenly that person stopped and said, can you please explain some basic questions that I have related to this, because I'm new to this project, to this company. And then there was this lady who tends to speak a lot. She starts from the straw man kind of a thing and she keeps it. And suddenly, her boss, it seems, he said, okay, don't start off with saying Jesus was born in Bethlehem and all that. Just get the story out. I use that word as a colloquial way in an office to say, oh, don't start with basics. Let us get to the point. Meaning, it's not just starting with somebody was born and he was growing up and our 1 hour will end. So get to the point. That's what it means. The point is, to get to the point is to be able to know who this Jesus is. Not to have just the knowledge of him, but to know him personally. Knowing the president of a particular country or the prime minister of a particular country is different from knowing that person personally. Knowing God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings is what Paul the Apostle says in the book of Philippians chapter 4. That I may know him. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you more. More about Jesus would I know. The more that you know him, you will love him. The more you know him, you will love him. It is not about telling that I was born again so many years ago, but to be able to say, I know this God. He made me born again, yes, but I have been knowing him over and over and over again. I know him. I love him, in other words. I love him because I know him. I know when I'm going through situations in my life, I still love him because I know him. Do you see that? That is very essential that you and I need to be able to understand here. And another thing that you can see in the same chapter, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Please read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. We have known and believed the love God has for us. You see that? We have come to know, we have known and believed the love God has for us. As we know God and believe the love that he has shown towards me, that agape love that he has shown towards me, the more I know him, the more sacrifice that he has done towards me, the more I recognize my situation and the way in which God has come down into this world to save me from my sins, I love him. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And thirdly, please note it down, the person who keeps his word loves God. Who is the one who loves God? The one who keeps his word. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Please read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God. This is the love of God, meaning this is the love that I show towards God, because sometimes his English is very hard for us to understand. If you read in any other language, verse 3, please.
మనం ఆయన ఆజ్ఞలను గైకొనుటే దేవుని ప్రేమించుట
దేవుని ప్రేమించుట
ఆయన ఆజ్ఞలు భారమైనవి కావు.
లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇట్ సేస్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్. But love towards God, if you really understand the meaning of that, love of God, here in this particular context is love towards God or loving God. By this, verse 3, verse 2 also, by this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and observe his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. As I know him, as I know the God who loves me and gave himself for me, I know him from his word. And this God who gave his commandments to me, his instructions to me, if I keep his commandments, or in other words, obey his commandments, I am showing forth my love to him. Keeping his commandments. Oh, brother, these commandments that are there in the Bible, they are so difficult for me to follow, you might say. God can help you in that. Are you trying to obey God's word by your own strength? Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you're weak, unable to be able to follow his commandments. Oh, this commandment is very difficult for me to follow. Read verse 3 of 1 John chapter 5. His commandments are not burdensome. Why is it there in the Bible like that then? If it is so burdensome, why is this word of God saying it's his commandments are not burdensome? Because of his grace that he has shown towards me. He is working. He has, you know, remember the salvation, sanctification and service. God's work in me. God's work for me. God's work in me and God's work through me. God is working in order to be able to help me to obey his commandments as well. Lord, I'm not able to strengthen me, Lord. Give me strength. Your word says, be strong and be courageous. I want to be strong and be able to obey this commandment. This temptation that is causing me so much of damage in my life. This situation that I'm unable to control myself. Lord, that self-control, I'm not able to control my anger. I'm not able to control my tongue. I'm speaking words that I'm not supposed to. Give me the wisdom, Lord. Your word says, tongue is like fire, but I'm not able to control my tongue. Lord, your commandment says to be able to watch out what I speak. How can I be able to control myself? Your commandments, keeping his commandments is loving God. Keeping his commandments is loving God. The same John the Apostle who wrote this letter also wrote wonderful things that Jesus spoke. While you keep your finger here, let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Many, many verses that we can look at related to love and keeping his commandments. The same John that he wrote it as Jesus spoke. Let us see that in verse 15. It says, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wonderful. Is it not clear enough? Who is saying this? Jesus Christ. You have a red-lettered edition. It is in red letter. What that means? Jesus Christ himself spoke. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. You see that? So linked to each other. Next time when you say, I love Jesus, question yourself. Am I born again? Do I know him? Do I keep his word? If I do this, then I'll be able to say, I love him. Just saying, I love Jesus is not what matters. We need to clearly look into the word of God. Lord, I have the desire to keep your commandments. Strengthen me, Lord. As I keep your commandments, I'm showing forth my love to you. Obeying God's word is loving him. Remember that. That is what helps our love to be made perfect. Our love made perfect. God's love towards me is experienced and understood. And as I read his word more and more, I'll be able to obey his commandments and walk in his commandments. Now we understand who loved God. If we are in any of this situation, maybe we say, brother, I'm born again. Are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. Do you love him? Suddenly a question, pause. Do you love him? Do you love him? What is your answer? Answer yourself, my dear. How to love God? How to love God? First thing, note it down. Love him first. First things first. Love him first. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus was complaining this. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus Christ, again, red-lettered edition. It says, but I have this against you that you have left your first love. First love. You have left your first love. First things first. The kind of experience that you've been having. Something was going on with this church at Ephesus. That over the period of time, their love was growing cold. They were not able to have the love that they had earlier. Oh, the first thing I wake up in the morning, I want to worship him, praise him. I want to be the first person to enter the church. I want to be the first person to help people in situations that they are in. I want to go to the Bible studies, prayer meetings. I want to be able to be part of being able to learn God more and more. And we want to fellowship with each other. What happened to that now? When was the last time you worshipped the Lord publicly? When was the last time you worshipped the Lord privately? Those are the questions that you and I need to answer. Maybe God is saying to us as well, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What is the kind of love that we have? What are the things that we are putting first in our lives? What is the first thing that we do in our lives when we wake up in the morning? What is the first thing that we do when we have situations and problems that we are going through? Whom do we love first? Those are the questions that you and I need to answer. There was a person who came and asked this question to Jesus Christ, recorded in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 35, it says, one of them, a lawyer. Who is a lawyer? The one who knows law. In this particular context, probably the law of the Lord. One of the people who is a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. They know that there are 600 plus laws that are recorded in the Old Testament. Now, out of all of this, he had a question, testing Jesus, saying, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Lawyer asking the master or the teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, what does it say? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. If you have other translations, it says, this is the first and the great commandment. What is the great commandment? What is the commandment that God is expecting you and I to obey? What is the word that we have to keep? What is the first thing that Jesus is telling? You shall love the Lord your God. That is what he's expecting. Many, many things we try to get so much bogged down here and there with so many commandments that are there. He had to ask this question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, this is the first and the great commandment. And that commandment is, love the Lord with all your first commandment. Love him first. Don't have anybody, anything about Jesus. Oh, brother, how about this job? How about my wife? How about my children? First things first. Love him first. That doesn't mean that we don't love others. That doesn't mean that I don't love my husband. That doesn't mean I don't love my wife, our children. Whom do you give the first and foremost? What is your priority in life? That's a question that you and I need to answer. Secondly, love him fully. Love him first. Oh yeah, I'm loving him first. The first thing I wake up is, oh, I don't know. I always get reminded of the question that is being asked on Sundays. What do you do first when you wake up? So I'm getting very conscious about it. I'm waking up in the morning. First thing first, I'm doing it. But are you doing it fully? What does fully mean? Here it says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 7, you shall love the Lord your God with half your heart, quarter your soul. No, it doesn't say that. It says all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Fully, completely. So total surrender, total love, perfect love. Our love will be made perfect when we love him first and when we love him fully. And this particular verse that Jesus is referring to, he's referring to the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jewish people know it. They do it twice a day. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 4. It says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. I want to show this to you. Probably the Jewish people may appreciate it much more, but because we guys don't look into it as much. The Shema, the word Shema is the first word of this particular verse. Here, the word Shema or listen, that word is Shema. Shema Israel, Yahweh Elohinu, Yahweh Echad. And then it talks about how to love the Lord. That's what it's translated in English. And that YHWH is a very, very sacred word that people don't want to even write it or pronounce it from a Jewish perspective. They changed it from Yahweh to Adonai. The word Adonai means Lord, but it is to be able to separate the Yahweh from the regular Adonai. In English, they have translated or they have transliterated is capital L-O-R-D, which is Yehovah Lord. But the Jewish people, if you see the flag on the right side, it said Shema Israel Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. Meaning, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Echad. Echad means ek. What is ek? One. He is one God. And that is not the only portion. Verse 4 says that. And verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. When you lie down and when you rise up, that means in the evening and the morning. That is why the Jewish people, they are very disciplined. They are very strict in following the Shema prayer. And the way in which they are told to pray is put your right hand on your eyes and then say this prayer. You see the picture there? Disciplined way to be able to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. It says, what does it say? Shema Israel Adonai, Elohim Adonai Echad. And they continue to say that. That is the Jewish prayer. Sometimes it becomes a traditional one. I'm not discounting that. But the point is to be able to know that we have only one God. And that one God is Yehovah, Yahweh. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is what it is expected, my dear. Even the Shema talks about the love that you and I need to have towards this God. Do you love Him fully? Do you love Him first? Important questions to answer. I need to love Him fully, wholeheartedly. Lord, I love you wholeheartedly. I shall love the Lord. And for that, He should give us so much of understanding of who He is as we meditate on His word, know Him more. As I keep His commandments, I am loving Him. And the last point that you and I can note it down is love Him more. Love Him first, love Him fully, love Him more. What is this more? If you want to put another word for F, love Him first, love Him fully, and then love Him furthermore, more and more. There's a song, oh glory to God, He has lifted me up, He has lifted me up, I know. I love Him more and more, I love Him more and more. And when I cross on the other shore, I will praise Him forevermore. I love Him more and more. We know this song. Did you ever think about that fact that song has that small phrase, I love Him more and more? Many times we sing these songs without even giving meaning to it. I love Him more and more and more and more. Very important, my dear. You and I need to recognize that we need to love Him more, meaning more than something. More and more in terms of increasing as I know Him more, I love Him more. But I need to love Him more than something. Let us look at some of the verses that talk about loving Him more than other things. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world. Oh, you might say, I'm living in the world, brother. Yes, you are living in the world, but you don't love Him more than God Himself. I'm trying to quickly go for one verse at a time. Please do join with me or you can note it down. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. You know what it says there? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then he says, who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. God expects the love that we need to show towards Him first, fully, and more as well, more than the things of this world. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. What does it say? No servant can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Some people love money. We cannot serve money and God. You either hate one and love the other. And that is what you and I need to be able to be watchful for. And then one more, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 onwards. This is a study by itself, but I'll just read it and let you meditate upon it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 onwards. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. More than lovers of God. What do you love more than God? In the last days, people will be loving other things more than being the lovers of God. This is a great warning. We are in the last days and we are going through this situation in our lives where lovers of pleasure, oh, I love this, I love this person, love this character, I love this situation. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Something to be able to be watchful of. What do you love? Where is your heart in? Luke chapter 7. I want to share with you a story from Luke chapter 7. Verse 36 onwards. Listen to this very carefully. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, that is Jesus. And Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner. He thought to himself, he said to himself. Verse 40, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher, say it. I was just thinking in myself, big deal. But Jesus said, I have something to say to you. Verse 41, a moneylender had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. 550, 10 times, one from the other. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't know how many times you have heard this story. I don't know how many times you have read this story. But let me tell you, there was this Pharisee who invited Jesus. And he thought, hey, you know what? I invited Jesus publicly. I invited Jesus into my house. But internally, privately, he was very critical. He was very judgmental. In other words, not looking at himself, but looking at this woman who came into the house. And he said, if this Jesus is a prophet, he should know that this woman is a sinner, not realizing his own sinful situation. Why? Because everybody knows that she's a sinner. But how about him? He's a saint, so-called saint, Pharisee. I know the law. I know in and out of it. I do this, I do that. Jesus gives a parable. He says a money lender had two debtors. There is something common between these two debtors. Verse 41. There's something common. That common thing is they were both in debt. Remember this. Both of them were in debt. Both had to owe, had to pay something to that money lender. That is common between both of them. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. That's the difference between those two. Both were debtors. One had to pay 500 denarii. The other had to pay 50 denarii. Verse 42. When they were unable to pay, something common between both of them. First, common between both of them, they were debtors. Difference between both of them, 500 and 50. Common between both of them, both could not repay. Something to be able to note. 50 only, na? Pay him. 500 or too much. Both could not repay. Remember that. Even if it is 50 or 500, one cannot repay for their debt. Something very important to note. Don't think that, oh, 50 only, big deal. I can get away into heaven. I'm a Pharisee. I've been doing all of that from childhood. I've been going to church. I know everything. I'm not a heavy sinner like this woman. I've been maintaining my life properly enough. Maybe I have some secret sins. Big deal. Only 50 denarii. You cannot pay for those little sins as well. Something to be able to note. Something common, both were in debt. The amounts were different. Something common, they could not repay their debt. And then, verse 42, he graciously forgave them both. Something common. This man forgave both. 50, okay. 500, okay. Deal. You don't need to repay. Oh, this person could say, oh, 50 also? For me, 500? No. Both were forgiven. Equal grace. They were, in my version it says, he graciously forgave them both. Graciously forgave them both, my dear. Remember this. Very important. Doesn't matter whether it is 50 denarii or 500 denarii. Whether you are a secret sinner or a public sinner. Ready to be forgiven. Because we cannot repay even for that small things. We just can't say that I can get away into heaven by my own righteousness. So which one of them will love him more? Difference between both. Common, debtors, difference, 550. Common, both could not repay. Common, both were forgiven. Difference, who will love him more? Jesus is asking that question. Who will love him more? The one who was forgiven more will love him more. Oh, brother, that is why I'm not worshiping God. That is why I'm coming late to church. That is why I don't care much about people. It's me. It's my life. I'm born again. I'm forgiven little. So I will live my life like this. Maybe many of us or few of us are thinking in that manner. There are people who shed their tears worshiping the Lord. Lord, I thank you for saving me from my sins. They work for the Lord's sake. They continue to connect with people. They love the Lord. They love to be involved in the work of the Lord. Why? Because they could sense that their sins are forgiven. But there are people who think, oh, my sins were little. That's why I'm forgiven little. Big deal. Why should I love him more? My dear, let me tell you, this is a warning for every one of us, including myself. Maybe we are comparing our sins with others and thinking that we are better off than others. But let me tell you, we cannot repay even for that little sins that we have committed. We are equally bound to hell. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't ever think that we are any better because we are born in a Christian family, that we are forgiven little. We are equally forgiven. We are graciously pardoned, and we need to love him. The moment we realize that I cannot save myself, there is nothing on myself that I can do in order to be able to repay God, that should enable you and me to love him more. Do you love him more? Or are you thinking, oh, barely done with it, big deal. This woman, she, it says in verse 38, she was weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and started wiping. She was showing forth her love towards Jesus because she knows that he is the God who came down into this world to forgive us of our sins. When was the last time you really had devotion towards him? Complete devotion towards him, saying, Lord, you have come into this world and died for me. You have forgiven me of my sin. The way in which we love him back reflects how much we understand about the forgiveness that God showed towards you and I. Very important lesson, my dear. Don't take this lightly. If you want to understand the perfect love that God has shown towards us and our love to be made perfect, is to love him more. To love him more. Oh, my dear, all this while we were expressing our love towards him, not fully probably, not loving him more. We are not able to recognize the forgiveness that he's shown towards you and I. We were comparing with others and thinking that they should worship more than me. I'll tell you, there are families where the person claims to have been born again for years together, and the spouse or the wife or the husband, recently that person is born again, and the way in which that spouse grows in the Lord, worships the Lord, the other spouse, the husband or the wife, is thinking, oh man, I don't know, I've been part of the church fellowship, I've been worshiping the Lord, but never did I see her or see him worship the Lord so dearly. Because that person recognized how much he or she was forgiven. That is what made the difference. Let me tell you, the little sins that we have been committing are equal to the big sins because we cannot repay even for that little ones. Remember that. Remember that and take it as a challenge to love him more. How do you know that we are only 50 denarii? And not 500 denarii. Maybe that's also a self-righteousness. I'm only 50. Who told you that? Why not 500? Maybe every one of us, including myself, we are all bound to pay that 500 denarii. Or in other words, big sins. Externally showing forth is one thing, but internally secret sins that causes to go away from God, unable to really love him. My dear, let's take this as a challenge, every one of us, to love him more, to show forth our love. You might say, this woman could have just been loving him more inside. I love him more and more. No, she was expressing it out. She was weeping. She was wetting his feet. She was wiping his feet with her hair. That was considered an honor for her. She humbled herself, took her hair and made it a towel. That is the kind of humility, that is the kind of devotion that God is expecting you and I, my dear. And it shall be told to everyone, everywhere the gospel is going to be preached. Why? To love him more. To love him more. There is one more. This Simon in whose house this incident has happened, Jesus spoke to Simon while he was talking to the woman as well. But there is another Simon that I want us to look at, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus rose from the dead. Before he was risen from the dead, he was crucified. During that time, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you so that your faith may not falter, so that you may strengthen your brothers. And now Jesus was going to ascend into heaven. What did Simon do? I'm going back, man. I'm sliding back. Or in other words, I'm backsliding. Going back to my business. The thing that I left the net and followed Jesus. Now the time has come for me to go back to my nets. And he started going back to the nets, and the story continues. And Jesus meets them. He tells them where to cast the net. And finally they were able to catch a wonderful number of fish. And then Jesus says, come and have breakfast in verse 12. I don't know how Jesus made breakfast. You know, he's God. He can just say, he can command breakfast and breakfast would be ready. And when they had finished breakfast, so sometime between breakfast and lunch, probably. Verse 15. They had breakfast. Did you have breakfast? Some of us skip breakfast. And they say, oh no, I don't have breakfast. But here in this particular case, they had breakfast. And like all of us, we came and gathered together to hear from Jesus. And Jesus started speaking to someone here. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. This is another Simon. And Jesus had to refer to his old name. Why? He was going back to his nets. Jesus had to refer to his old name, Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me more? Jesus is expecting that question with every one of us sitting here. Do you love me more than these? You can infer what these are. It could be the nets. It could be the fish. It could be the disciples. It is left to us to be able to recognize in our own personal lives. You fill in the blank for these. Do you love me more than job, immigration, family, money, health? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Is there, but seek ye first, seek him more. Seek him fully. That is what it is here. Do you love me more than this? And Jesus used the word agapao. Do you agapao me more than these? To that, Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. Jesus is saying, do you agapao me? And Peter is saying, oh, I've already backslidden. Jesus knows my situation. How can I really say that I agapao him? We are friends, Jesus. I filio you. I filio you. English translation, that is a problem, right? English translation. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. But original translation, do you agape me? I filio you. And then the next verse. And then he says, tend my lambs. Verse 16, he said to me again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? What does it say? Yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. He said, shepherd my sheep. Jesus was slowly and steadily talking to him. And then the third time in verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you filio me? And then the third time he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I filio you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus came down to the level of Peter. You're not able to understand the agape love. But at least do you really filio me? Do you have that friendly love towards me? Peter had to be taught a lesson to show forth the love towards Jesus with agape. But Peter could not express it out. We are easy to say, oh, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. But Peter was very, very, very cautious in unable to say that he agapes Jesus. He said, I fear you only. I'm backslidden. I need you. He said, tend my sheep, shepherd my flock, show forth, obey my commandment, in other words. Then you will really agape me. I was studying on this character of Peter, and there is one verse Peter talks about him agapeing Jesus in his own letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. And that love, the word love that is used is agape. His life has changed to the extent of being able to recognize not just filial love towards Jesus, not friendship love with Jesus, but divine love with Jesus, agape love. He was able to express it, my dear. Paul the Apostle, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Let him be cursed if you don't love Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, brother, all things will work together for good, brother. But do you love him? Do you love him the way the Bible says that you should love him? Otherwise, don't claim Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. It's only for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There's a story talked about a little girl, Emily. She goes to her dad and says, Papa, do you love Jesus? Asked the little Emily. To her father, who did not care for anything religious. Father said, Emily, Jesus is dead, my dear. Long, long ago, he was crucified and that was the end of him. But Emily said, but Jesus rose again, Dad, and did what no other man could do. And if Jesus was not living now, we could not be living either. And as he gives us life and everything else, Papa, that was her understanding of telling her own dad. The father said, but how can I love him whom I have never seen, Emily? Tell me that, dear. How can I love him whom I have never seen? Emily at first did not know what to reply. And her father looked pleased to know that he had puzzled her. At length she said, Papa, how old was I when Mama died? How old was I when Mommy died? Only 6 months, my child, the father said. Then Emily said, then I can't say that I ever saw her, for I don't remember her at all. But you have always tried to make me love her by telling me how good and kind she was. And I do love her, although I have never seen her that I can remember. I haven't seen Mommy, but you told how much Mommy loves me. And I love her, Ma, Dad. By this time, tears were running down the father's cheeks. And kissing Emily, he said, God has spoken to me by you, my dear Emily. And now you must pray for me and ask God to give me a new heart with which I shall love Jesus. And the prayer was soon answered. Oh, my dear. Through children also, God can speak to us that we should love him. Do you love him? Do you love him first? Do you love him fully? Do you love him more? A question to be answered. When he has loved us so much, by showing forth, by stretching out his hand. I remember our daughter, Joanne, when my dad was sick and suffering while he was here. She went to him, she was around 5 years old. She went and spoke to my dad and said, Tata, how much do you love Jesus? This much, or this much, or this much? Nobody has asked Joanne to go and tell my dad that one. Dad was sick and suffering, but Dad later told me and all of us as a family Joanne asked me this question, it really made me realize most of the time I was thinking about God's love to me, but when she asked me this question, I could not answer her question as to this much or this much or this much. Then he started focusing on loving Jesus. He said, whoever came to the hospital to meet, he was focusing on two things. One is love and the other is faith. I tell you, my dear, it's very important for us to focus our love towards him. May we love him more. May our love be perfected. Last week, we meditated on God's love perfected in us, saying God loves us vertically coming down towards us. Today, note it down. I'll give you some time to note it down. God's love perfected in us. Jesus loves me. On the arrow. Secondly, our love made perfect. I love Jesus. Our love made perfect. The circle has not ended. We're going to finish the circle, God willing, next week. And another important element of the perfect love. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, my dear brother and sister, I'm asking you this question, just as Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? What is your answer? What is your answer? What is my answer? Just ponder over it and recognize how much he loves us. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, we sing the song. There is a name I love so much. I love to hear and say the sweetest thing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Many, many songs that remind us of our love towards Jesus. In Telugu also, Ninne Premintunu, Ninne Premintunu, Ne Venudiriga. How many times we sing these kind of songs? Preminchuchunnava Prabhu Yesuni. Questions, question-based songs. How many songs we hear these, but do we really answer that question? My dear brother and sister, those of us who are sitting here, if you want to make a commitment to the Lord, say, Lord, I want to love you. Not the way I've been loving you in the past, but I really want to show my devotion towards you. Having been forgiven of my sins, I know how much it took for you to take that punishment for my sin. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And as you experience that forgiveness of the Lord and how he had forgiven you and I, we'll love him more. Let's take this commitment. Any of us sitting here want to make that commitment to the Lord? Brother, I want to love Jesus more and more. I want to make that commitment. Any of us, please raise your hand high enough. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We praise the Lord with you. Let's take this as a challenge, my dear. It's not for anybody else's sake, but for himself. That woman, she was credited more than that Pharisee, so-called self-righteous man. Let's not go after our self-righteousness. You can lower your hand. Let's commit our lives to him. Those of us who are not born again, let me tell you, you can love God if you are born of God. If you know God and keep his word. And love him first, love him fully, and love him more. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to keep that commitment that we have made towards the Lord as we take part in the table that is set before us, reminding of his perfect love towards us, where he showed towards us on the cross of Calvary.